This is Ozarks at Large. Just in time for the holidays, a new Northwest Arkansas-centric cookbook, created by the members of a Fayetteville church, delivers hundreds of recipes tested by the parishioners and gives a snapshot of the region's past and present at the same time. The cookbook is titled Full Plate, Generous Servings of Ozark Hospitality, and was a 10-year project by members of St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Fayetteville. 100% of sales go to support community meals at St. Paul's, where they feed hundreds of people every Monday and Wednesday at lunch. A cookbook release party and tasting is scheduled for Thursday from 5 until 8 at the church. Christine Klinger was a co-chair of the committee that developed the book. She says the initial idea sprang from an appropriate place.
I like to say that a lot of great ideas are stirred up in a kitchen, and this was one of them. In 2001, in the fall, St. Paul's hosted the Episcopal Church Women's Group that met, the whole diocesan group met in the old kitchen, well, in the old parish hall at St. Paul's, and we prepared the luncheon for them in the old kitchen, and I think maybe three of the four burners still worked on the stovetop, and the dishwasher didn't work, and so it was really around food and serving food and hospitality that the idea was sort of bantered about.
So you asked for parishioners and the like to submit recipes, and then people prepared them, but not people who submitted them.
Correct. The committee was one of those that expanded and contracted over time, but one of the rules that we had was if you submitted a recipe, the one that you prepared for our luncheon could not be your own, because it was really important to have somebody else use their cooking eyes to see if the recipe worked for them.
You know, one of the great things about a college town is that it attracts people from all over the country and all over the world. And while you do have some Ozark natives, you have people who've come from everywhere. And when you start flipping through this book, that becomes quite apparent.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's not just Ozark cooking here.
Well, I think maybe not in the traditional sense,
right,
but as the new Ozarks
exactly
are evolving, I think it's very reflective.
So how difficult was it to get from 900 plus to 308?
Well, it was a lot of testing and tasting and a lot of fun. Lowell Grisham, our rector, referred to it as his favorite committee to be on at St. Paul's. And so I think we did evaluations, and we looked at that, the results of those, and just sort of not just the numerical indices, but we all sort of knew, you know, gut feeling whether this would be a recipe that we wanted to include in the cookbook. And we tried to have a balance of recipes that would be easy enough for a beginning cook, but also sort of challenging enough for a more experienced cook. So it was hard. It was a hard job, but somebody had to do it, and we did.
How many people were on the committee over time?
Oh, well, you know, at the beginning of the book, we list people who helped and contributed. I think, it would be really hard for me to say numbers, but I think during this last, the home stretch, it's been about a dozen of us that have stayed committed to it. I think a lot of people got weary and just thought, they're never going to finish this cookbook.
Well, yeah, you mentioned a 10-year process.
Mm-hmm.
Was part of that just inexperience with the publishing world or testing all the recipes? Everyone had other things to do?
I think it was a lot of that. And then life just got in the way. When we were just meeting once a month, it almost seemed for me that we'd barely come up from having had the last one when it would be time to coordinate the second one or, you know, the following one. Yeah, it just, we're all really, really busy people, and the community of people at St. Paul's are extremely busy cooking on Mondays and Wednesdays for community meals. And so Friday then would roll around and it would be time to have a monthly cookbook meeting. And we just sort of got stuck in the process, I guess you could say.
Monday and Wednesday community meals at St. Paul. That's what proceeds from this book will help fund.
Yes, exactly.
What happens on those Monday and Wednesdays?
Well, a free, warm, home-cooked, balanced meal is provided to anybody, hungry or homeless or anyone in need of a meal. When they were building the Three Sisters on Dixon Street, the workers would come and have a meal. So it, we do no screening in terms of, you know, proving your financial need, but it's well received and often a very packed house.
You mentioned that when this started with the conversations, the old kitchen, the old stove. So that's changed. Different
yes.
stove.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you've noticed has changed between 2001 and 2012?
Well, yes. I think one of the things that we would say is an advantage of having taken this long to create a cookbook is that the way that we eat as a culture, we talk about slow foods. That's something that we didn't talk about in 2001. And I think that we've gotten some younger parishioners or people involved in the committee that have helped bring some fresh eyes, and I think it's really helped create a better balance. And the cookbook that we have today in 2012, I think is much more current than the one that, say, we had been able to publish it in 2 years would have been.
Great idea to have these sidebars. Every recipe page has a sidebar. Now, some of them are cooking tips, what's the best temperature for if you're working with beef, but some of them are descriptions of Prairie Grove Battlefield State Park or Crystal Bridges or things like that. That's a wonderful sort of moment in time in Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm glad you appreciate that. When my husband opened the book, he said, wow, this is really two books in one. And I would have to give credit to T. and Roy Fuller for having that vision. I think when I began, I just was thinking of pretty much a spiral-bound cookbook limited to just our church parishioners. But they had gone to a seminar that Wimmer Publishing offered, and they went to Memphis with some other folks and came back very energized about creating a regional cookbook and one that had some local history in it. So it was really T. and Roy Fuller who had that vision.
And there's history of food here, of apple production, mm-hmm. you know, more than a century ago. I'm trying to find this one recipe. This is one that Katie Mihaljevic,
yes.
who let me look at her book. I think the day she got it, she brought it over so I could look at it beforehand. Mm-hmm. Boston Mountain Hot Chocolate. And the sub-headline on this is absolutely decadent.
And we've tested that. It is indeed.
That has an exclamation
yes.
point beside
yeah,
it as well. So.
Yeah, it is.
November 1st, November which is a 1st. Thursday, is sort of the book release party.
It's the cookbook debut.
Yes, the cookbook
and a little
debut.
Tasting. We plan that in conjunction with First Thursday and hope that we'll have a great turnout.
You know, other cookbooks I've seen like this that aren't quite as well done and well bound and as pretty, but still they'll have this recipe from so-and-so. There are no credits here for the recipes. They just exist.
Mm-hmm.
And in the front, you have people who submitted recipes, mm-hmm. but no one is assigned credit.
Right. Well, that was something that we talked about. And when Wimmer, the publishing company, spoke to us about the trends in cookbooks, that's something that people are getting away from. And because we wanted it to have a more regional appeal, if it had been more of an in-house cookbook, I think there would have been some value to that. So we made the decision not to. But the other thing is quite a few of the recipes may have been similar or submitted by several different people. And so rather than give one person the credit with the recipe, everybody's given credit in the preface.
Christine Klinger was co-chair of the committee that developed the new cookbook, Full Plate, Generous Servings of Ozark Hospitality, produced by members of St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Fayetteville. Proceeds will benefit community meal projects of the church. A book launch and tasting is scheduled for Thursday from 5 until 8 at the church in downtown Fayetteville. This is KUAF 91.3 FM. And it is the on-air portion of our fall fundraiser. You can contribute in the amount of your choosing to keep great programming on the air on your radio, 800-522-5823. You can also support us online at supportkuaf.com.
Hey, listener, supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Odell.
Odell?
Yes.
Where is Odell?
It is in the southwest corner of Washington County near the Arkansas-Oklahoma border.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it close to?
Nothing really. The border.
Okay.
Evansville.
Oh, Evansville. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just east of there.
All right. And we reach Odell.
We do.
And a lot of other places. If we reach you and you listen to us often, remember that the reason we can bring you the programs is because you have financially contributed, or at least listeners like you have financially contributed. 800-522-5823, supportkuaf.com.
Yes, and we would like to thank one of those contributors right now. A big thanks to Pete Spinato for his contribution.
And don't forget, we're closing in on finishing our new contributor challenge that started at $1,000 a few hours ago, now down to $230. And we're getting close to $122,000 for the overall fundraiser.
Yes, we are. And the reason that we ask for new members, there's a couple of reasons. I mean, we live in a very transient population.
Right.
There's
people,
you know,
move
people
in,
move
but
in,
people
move,
also move.
Move
away.
Exactly. So we like to reach out to new people and keep our group of supporters at a level where we can continue to bring our services to everyone who listens to us.
Right. And as the population of Northwest Arkansas and the Arkansas River Valley grows, costs of the programming increases for us.
Yes.
Just like other costs increase for us throughout the year for our personal lives at KUAF. So it's important that as this population grows, we still have that healthy amount of listeners becoming contributors. So that's why it's important that we also hear from new contributors, as well as our very much appreciated long-time
renewing and sustaining members, yes.
Right.
And as you mentioned, the costs for some of our programs are actually based on the population.
The market size.
Is that market size?
Yes.
Right. So, again, if you would like to make your contribution right now, you can do so at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. Also online at supportkuaf.com. So, did you have a good weekend, Kyle? I mean, the day I didn't see you?
That's right.
Because we were in here Saturday.
Right, Saturday. And thanks to all the local musicians, by the way, who came in and made Saturday night so fun because Mike Shirky had a handful of folks like Emily Cates and Ed Nicholson and Susan Shore, folks that came in and then
performed live. That was good.
Cabin House and
Garrett Jones and some
Steve
other.
Steve Wilkes. Mm-hmm. So a lot of fun. Yes, I did. Yesterday, caught up on things that I had to get done. Friday night, I did see Pride and Prejudice.
Yes, how was it? I didn't make it out there.
It was very interesting. It was LA Theater Works.
At the Walton Arts Center.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so the actors were in costumes.
Mm-hmm.
They read, obviously, it was about a 90-minute, two-hour performance, a condensed version of the Jane Austen book, which I have to admit I had never read. Never read it nor seen an adaptation. So this was all new to me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Most of the audience were big-time Jane Austen fans.
Yes.
So I found it quite interesting. And I know the people, I ran into several people in the lobby afterward who devotees of Jane Austen and this book in particular, and they were thrilled with the performance.
Excellent.
Made me now want to read the whole book.
Yes, you should. I can let you borrow it if you
need
to.
Okay, well, thank you. Uh-huh. So I enjoyed that. And again, thanks to the musicians who came in on Sunday night and helped us out.
Oh, right. Or Saturday night.
Yes, Saturday night. Last night was Sunday night. That's correct.
Last night was Sunday. Today is Monday. Just fundraiser time is a little different.
It all blends together. But what doesn't blend together, well, actually, you know what?
Actually.
What does blend together? All the contributions made by listeners like you, because you don't have to pay all $160,000 to keep the station on the air during this fundraiser. That's our goal. You do your part.
You do your part.
And when we all come together, we make sure that this programs like Talk of the Nation, which is 30 seconds away, can still be on the air.
Give us a call now at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge your support online at supportkuaf.com.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Antoinette and I will be back here, right here in the Richard B. Atkinson studio tomorrow at noon for another brand new edition of Ozarks at Large.